You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, sponsored by BetUS, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people. What is up, Dolphin fans?
Got the old school Dolphins windbreaker on. This is good stuff. Shout out to everybody watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page and the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Go ahead and take a second right now. Smash the like button. Subscribe to the channel. Turn on notifications so you never miss a show when we go live. This is gonna be a fun one tonight, folks. Well, the Miami Dolphins defeated the Denver Broncos 70-20 on Sunday. You heard that correctly, 70. I'm sure none of us could believe our eyes, but it was real. The Miami Dolphins exploded for 10 touchdowns and 726 total yards. More yards, by the way, than either the New York Jets or Tennessee Titans have gained total over the course of their first three games of the season. It was an absolutely stunning display, one in which just about every trick Mike McDaniel had up his sleeve worked out. The speed of Tyreek Hill, Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane proved too much for the Broncos to handle, and they, eventually appeared to just completely tap out. Heck, Mike White threw a 60-yard touchdown pass to Robbie Chosen. Mike White, formerly of the New York Jets, threw a 68-yard touchdown pass to Robbie Chosen, formerly of the New York Jets. It was an offensive explosion, a spectacular beatdown, and an absolutely humiliating day at the office for Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. Look, was it perfect? No. Does that matter? Also, no. Because while there are certainly things we can discuss that the Dolphins will want to continue working on, that is not a discussion for us to deal with today. Today, we should absolutely revel in the historic nature of what we witnessed. This performance, this team is special. Brain, how you feeling?
I'm still in shock. I can't believe what we saw. Like, I thought the Dolphins were going to cover. I wasn't going to be surprised if the Dolphins won by 15, 20 points, hell, even 30 points wouldn't have shocked me. But this was just unprecedented. This is unbelievable. I mean, I didn't think that it was going to be possible that the Dolphins could top what the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City put out there on Tuesday, which was one of the greatest episodes in Housewives franchise history, in my opinion. I said, the only way the Dolphins are going to top that is if they win by 40 points. They go out and win by 50 points and they put up 70. They could have had the record. I would have kicked the field goal. I would have gone for the record. I don't hate that they didn't go for it. It's whatever. I'm neither here nor there. I would have done it. Frankly, I think Sean Payton crapped all over the fraternity of NFL coaches when he took over that team and said that the team that he took over was the worst coach team that he had ever seen. So I would not have felt bad for rubbing his nose in it.
Truly couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
But, man, 70 points. 50-point victory. I mean, I'm blown away.
Dude, I predicted a 40-burger. Okay? I predicted 40. They hit 42 points, and then part of me was just like, now I kind of want the 50-burger. I want 50. And then they got 50, and I was like, I think I want 60. And then they got 60, and I was like, are they going to get 70 points? And then they scored, and they had 70 points, and there was 8 minutes left in the game.
And then Chris Brooks, when they have 70 points, and you're thinking, well, they're not going to go for this record. They're just going to run the clock. And then Chris Brooks runs for what? Like a 50-yard run? And I'm thinking to myself, holy crap, they're going to get this record. They should have kicked the field goal, man. They should have kicked.
Let us know in the comments if you think the Dolphins should have kicked the field goal to get 73, to tie the all-time record.
Sanders needed the reps. Like, you don't even need to.
Sanders does need reps. That's true. You don't need to justify it.
Yeah, Sanders needed the reps.
I am pleased that Jason Sanders hit all 10 extra points. That was a relief. Can I go down the list of some of these records that the Dolphins broke or tied in this game? Here we go. So, the first set, and this is of course from Miami Dolphins PR, but excuse me, they broke the record set the record for most points in a game in team history at 70, set the record for most touchdowns in a game in team history with 10, most total yards in a game in team history, 726, which, mind you, the all-time record was 735. They were close. And don't forget, they also kneeled on the ball a couple of times at the end of the game as well. Most rushing yards in a game in team history, 350. Most points scored in a second half of a game in team history, they tied that mark with 35. And they set an NFL record for most extra points kicked, converted successfully in a game in team history with 10. Because in some of those other games where there were 10 touchdowns scored, the extra points were not all made. So Jason Sanders now is a record holder, a National Football League record holder. Jason Sanders, the only man in the history of the National Football League to successfully convert 10 extra points in a single game. But there were also individual records set by the Dolphins in this game. Most touchdowns in a game by a rookie, Devon Achane, 4. Most points scored in a game by a single player. The Dolphins had two guys tie that mark at 24. Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane. That's got to be a Dolphins record. Yeah, they tied the team record because Alvin Kamara a couple years ago had 6 touchdowns in the one playoff game. But most touchdowns in a game by a single player tied the team record for Mostert and Achane. Most rushing yards in a game by a rookie, 203. Devon Achane, that's an NFL record. Most passing yards through 3 games in Dolphins history, Tua Tagovailoa with 1,024. Most receiving yards through 3 games in Dolphins history, 412. Tyreek Hill, that's an average of about 134 per game. If he keeps that up over the course of the season, he's going to end up with over 2,300 receiving yards. It's incredible. And then, of course, as I mentioned before, most extra points in a game, 10. Jason Sanders, Miami Dolphins. Record-breaking destruction of the Denver Broncos on Sunday. And golly gee, it was spectacular to behold.
Yeah, I'm still not over it. This is a day to celebrate. There's obviously, you touched on it. Like, this was not a perfect game. There are certainly things that the Dolphins can clean up, which makes this that much more impressive. the fact that they did this without Jalen Waddle.
Without their second best wide receiver on the field. who is arguably their second fastest player.
Who's a top 10 receiver in this league. Not just like some guy that happens to be their second best receiver and, they have a bunch of other guys that are as good. Like a legitimate top 10 receiver not playing and they still put 70 points on the board.
Savor it. Absolutely savor it. It's phenomenal. Yes. excuse me. I'm still dealing with a cold or something over here. But listen, We're gonna dwell on this. Listen, we're a show. If you've been following us for a long time, you know that Brain and I are skeptical. We're jaded. We're the first ones to sit back and go, I don't know. But this is special. We are witnessing something special, truly special. People of our age grew up watching Dan Marino play, and those were truly elite Miami Dolphins offenses. You know, obviously there were people that are older than us that saw those Dolphins teams in the 70s, saw the perfect season, the best Dolphins teams of all time. And this Dolphins team is right up there with them. And if anything, is probably way more entertaining because of just the nature of the way the game is played in 2023. This is truly something special to behold. And if the Dolphins, excuse me, I'm telling you, I'm fighting it here. But if the Dolphins can keep this up and they can stay healthy, I feel like we are witnessing what is truly going to be a very special season. And Brain, it's going to be that time now because, listen, it's, you know what time it is. Everybody knows what time it is. It's time to check our pulse.
You check your pulse if you're not fired up.
That's right, everybody. It is once again time for a Miami Dolphins pulse check. This is where you tell us in one word how you are feeling right now about the Miami Dolphins. Tell us in one word how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins. And Brain, I'm going to let you go first, as is our tradition. What is one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now?
I gave this a lot of thought because there were a lot of words that came to my mind. And I thought, you know, what really sums things up? What doesn't overstate it? What doesn't understate it? And look, this, keep in mind, this is how I'm feeling right now. This is not necessarily how I'm going to feel a few weeks from now, a few months from now. But right now, I feel different. I feel different because even though the Dolphins are 3-0 and a year ago they were 3-0 and we've seen many 3-0 starts from this team that have ended, that have had seasons end either not making the playoffs or rather uneventfully in the playoffs, this just feels different. The way that they got here is different. Just looking at last year. Last year, the Dolphins started 3-0. It was a rather ugly week one game. They had a week two game against Buffalo where they got, frankly, outplayed and held on and got a really dramatic victory. And then in week three, they were down 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter and had a miraculous come from behind victory. And it felt great, but it felt a little fluky. And in the grand scheme of things, with the way the season panned out, I think when you look back on it, you probably say, yeah, it was probably a little fluky. This does not feel fluky. Now, Grant, you're not going to score 70 points every game. You're not going to win a bunch of games by 50 points. But this offense looks legit. In all three games, this offense has had significant stretches of time where they have been elite. Granted, did they sputter in the second half against New England? Yes. New England's also one of the better defenses in the league. But also, when push came to shove and the Dolphins needed a big play from their offense in that New England game, they did it. Big question about, can Tua win a shootout against an elite quarterback? Week one, Tua does it against Justin Herbert. Week three, 70 points. I mean, record-breaking. You can't say enough about it. Like, it's a mic drop moment. At this point, you just have to agree that Tua is elite. This offense is elite. And if this defense is even average, this team has a ceiling as high as any other team in the league. So it feels different right now. But you know what? I'm living in the moment. I'm living in the now. And I'm feeling really good about this thing looking different right now.
I think you kind of have to, because it is. Listen, we've said it a million times. You don't get to make the declarative statement that these are not the same old Dolphins. That's not a statement that you make in September. See our pinned tweet, right? We've said it a million times. September is not the time to be taking victory laps on this isn't the same old Dolphins, because there's a long way to go. A lot of things can happen. However, right now, in this moment, it certainly doesn't feel like the same old Dolphins. So I think you're absolutely entitled to say that it feels different. Brain, let's hear from some of the other folks. Jordan Murray says ecstatic. Hooked Up Joe says stunned. JM Santos is euphoric. Colton Branch electrified. Tervellus Tinker, great. John Kenton, 1972. John Welly, proud. Douglas Potter, wowed. Jeff Harris, optimistic. Let's see, what else? Chris Warnett says exuberant. Keith Riley says feeling awesome. Thomas Watson, expectant. Peter Kamier says undefeated. Carlos Sayen says outstanding. Oh, my goodness. Look at see. Bob says exuberant. We got so many great, great answers here in the chat. Let's see what folks on Twitter said. We had a lot of things. Dolphins Talk says electrifying. Dan Robbins says, I'm not going to read that, but it's he has taken an expletive and then paired it with the word Herbert and asked if that counts as one word. Braggadocious says Francisco G. JD says wonderstruck. Bushido Brown says vindicated. Terry Dean is optimistic. Jorge squeezed it all into one word. I just cannot believe it. Kevin Dern comes back to it again. Scrum true lesson. Steadfastly. I love it. DOC says realistic. Domi followed up the image that he shared with us last time with another one. I'll let you look on our Twitter timeline. We got so many great answers from the people from the Pulse Check. A lot of great answers. So make sure you're following us at Same Old Dolphins and you can see all of the comments that were shared. But I want to come back to one that came from our good friend Patrick Mullen, because his answer was the same as mine. And that one is, quite frankly, impressed. I'm impressed with this team right now. I'm impressed with the performances that they're putting on in the field. I'm impressed with Tua Tagovailoa. He's playing MVP caliber football right now, and there's not even a question about it. I know there's some nonsense discourse out there of like, can you really take Tua at face value in the MVP conversation, because you have to consider his coach and all of the players around him. And that's just such the most nonsense thing ever, because you're going to be like, okay, so you're not going to hold Andy Reid being the head coach of Patrick Mahomes against him. You're not going to hold Patrick Mahomes having Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce against him. It's complete nonsense. And listen, you can make legitimate arguments one way or another about who your MVP is. But the fact is, Tua Tagovailoa is playing elite football right now, playing the best football of his career. He is impressive day in and day out on the football field. And right now he is everything that this Miami Dolphins team needs him to be. And he has, let's make no mistake about it, he's been a huge part of why this team is 3-0 at this point. So I'm absolutely impressed. It is just a tremendous, tremendous start to the season for the Miami Dolphins. And listen, Brant, you know, if we want to talk about instrumental parts to this team being 3-0, can we talk about this offensive line with the addition of Teron Armstead and how that team just bossed the Denver Broncos around on Sunday? I mean, if you thought that the offensive line was performing well in the first couple weeks of the season, then you inject Teron Armstead into it, forget about it. I mean, and right now it's across the board. Everybody on that offensive line is playing great football, including Austin Jackson, as hard as that is to believe. This team is fantastic right now. And Brain, I'm just, you know, da 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 da. I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's really phenomenal. And just to kind of piggyback on the point you were making about the silly discourse about, can you fairly judge Tua based on how good his supporting cast and his coach is? I mean, I guess Joe Montana really, kind of sucked because he only had, the grandfather of this offense, the West Coast offense. He was the person that brought it to the NFL. And he also had Jerry Rice and John Taylor and Roger Craig and a great offensive line. So I guess, you discredit Joe Montana, you discredit Steve Young. Terry Bradshaw had Lynn Swann and John Stallworth, so he was no good.
Kurt Warner was no good because the greatest he had show Isaac on Bruce. Turf.
Yeah, and then he went to Arizona, and it wasn't that he was a good quarterback in two separate places. He just happened to have Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin. I mean, it's just such an outrageous argument. The calisthenics that people are having to do to try to discredit the guy. Like, it's three games. So, like, I'm not going to sit here and proclaim that Tua is, the best quarterback in the league, or he's even an MVP. Through three games, he's in the MVP conversation, but it's three games. It doesn't matter. But at the same time, it's ridiculous to discredit him, when the guy is playing at as high a level as you can play. Like, it's not Tua's fault that he has a good coach and good players around him. He's making the most of it, which is what you want him to do. And he's not just making the most of it. He is completely lapping the field with the stats that he's dropping. I mean, it's just insanity. And yeah, Tyreek Hill deserves a lot of credit. He might be the best wide receiver in the league. And yeah, Mike McDaniel deserves a lot of credit. Might be the best offensive mind in the league. It's a marriage. And I'm really happy that we've got that marriage.
Yeah, it is clicking on all cylinders at the moment. And I think it's fair to say that all of the questions that you had at the beginning of the season, a lot of those are still out there, right? Because those questions are truly going to be answered over the course of an entire season. It's still very early. It's still only 3 weeks in. And what we have said time and time again on this show is that you don't take your victory lap in September. But right now, it's unbelievable. You know what else is unbelievable, Brain? Caldera Lab. Caldera Lab's going to make your skin look really good. It's going to make your skin look unbelievable, gentlemen. Going to make you look younger. Look at the Brain. He's been doing all the liquid formulations on his face and not the ones necessarily that Domi was suggesting. He's got all of the good liquid formula, literally the good. He's got the eye serum. He's got everything. Putting it on his face. And you can do this too, folks. All you got to do is go over to calderalabs.com. You put in the promo code DolphinsTalk. You're going to save 20%. And listen, this is not like some huge ordeal that you got to do in the morning and before bed. It's not some giant thing. You go in, you spend a couple of minutes. Okay. It's just like you go, you brush your teeth, you shave, you put on the skin thing. It's there for a minute. You wash it off. You're done. You're done. That's it. Over. So go to Caldera Lab, put in the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20%, put that stuff on your face, and you're going to look young, you're going to feel young, and it is going to be a very beautiful thing. Talking about a beautiful thing, Brain, we got to talk about this running game because outrageous. Devon Achane, who formerly Achane, now Achane, he has decided, he's the latest NFL player that has decided to change how his name is pronounced. Listen, whatever. That's pronounced? His decision. What's that?
He changed how it's pronounced?
He changed how it's pronounced. It's not pronounced Achane anymore. It's now Achane. So, and you know what? Listen, if he's going to carry the ball 18 times for 283 yards and a pair of touchdowns and then add four receptions for 30 yards and another couple of touchdowns, he can call himself whatever he wants. So, that don't bother me. Incredible performance. Mostert. 13 carries, 82 yards, 3 touchdowns rushing. He also added 7 receptions for 60 yards and another touchdown. The screen game was out of control. It was beautiful. Chris Brooks got into the act late, 9 carries, 66 yards. The running game brain in this game was absolutely fantastic, with the exception of the short yardage situations, which we're not going to dwell on today. We'll come back and talk about another day. But for the most part, the way that Mike McDaniel has defenses questioning every little maneuver, they're turning themselves inside out, trying to figure out what the Dolphins are going to do next. And it's creating enormous, enormous running lanes. That plus this offensive line. And Brain, I don't think the Dolphins have had a running game like this since Larry Zonka and Mercury Morris.
They've never had a running game like this, apparently.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, because I mean, really, I mean, even with Mercury Morris and Larry Zonka, I mean, they weren't putting together the explosive runs the way this team is. And it, you know, look, this was one game, and you have to take the opponent into consideration. But if you can do the things that you do in the passing game, and the opposing defense has to respect it, then you're going to have opportunities on the ground. And what we saw, I mean, we saw a little bit of it in the first 2 weeks. I thought the Dolphins had moments where you saw the potential of this ground game, but you really saw the difference with Teron Armstead. When those outside zone plays happen now and they go to Armstead's side, and Armstead's like 10 yards down the field like Larry Little, that's when you say, oh, this is an element that was missing. Kendall Lamb did a really nice job, but he's not Teron Armstead. You're on mute.
I muted myself again. This is what happens. I'm dealing with this cough still, and I don't want to subject everybody to it. So I got to mute myself, and sometimes I forget to unmute. But man, it's a joy to behold a Miami Dolphins team that can do seemingly whatever it wants, whenever it wants. And that is really, really encouraging. I don't think there's enough positive things I can say about it, frankly. I mean, I could go on all day and talk about it. Brain, what else? Who else do we need to praise here? I mean, obviously, Mike McDaniel is making a true difference with this team. How about Emmanuel Ogba playing a little football on Sunday?
Well, honestly, I think you need to praise the defense a little bit. Granted, they got some help. they got some help from a couple of Cortland Sutton fumbles, a Cortland Sutton drop touchdown.
Well, hold
touchdown.
On a second. Javon Holland played an outsized role in a couple of those.
Yeah, but I mean, it happens once. Okay, great play, but it can't happen. Like we killed Jalen Waddle for almost the entire season last year for the Minnesota Vikings game, and Cortland Sutton basically had the Minnesota Vikings game, except he also dropped a touchdown. So the defense had help, but at the end of the day, they gave up 13 points. I mean, you gave up the special teams touchdown, but the defense gave up 13 points in a game where the offense scored 10 touchdowns. So it's not like Denver didn't have opportunities. It's not like the Dolphins were milking the clock and this was like a short in the game situation. Denver had plenty of opportunities, and at times they did move the ball well, but I thought that the Dolphins defense played a lot better. I thought Andrew Van Ginkel again was extremely impactful. And I thought the linebackers in general, you know, as somebody who's been very hard on the linebackers at the early part of the season and going back the last several seasons, I thought the linebackers actually had a really great game in this one. I thought Jerome Baker and David Long both played really well. I think the secondary depth got tested with Eli Apple, being out. And Justin Bethel, I thought, had an admirable game. So I think in general, I mean, I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to be negative. Xavien Howard has definitely lost a step, but he's still okay. And we're going to be, you know, maybe a little bit shaky until we get Jalen Ramsey back, but we're good. The defense is making strides. It's making improvements every week. And with the way this offense is playing, If this defense just holds the fort down, you're going to get reinforcements. You're going to get Jalen Phillips a little bit healthier. You're going to get guys a little bit more comfortable with this defensive system. You're going to get Nick Needham back. You're going to get Jalen Ramsey back. You're going to get Brandon Jones more acclimated, even though Deshaun Elliott has done a nice job so far. And I think this defense is just going to continue to get better. So it's really exciting to think about what this team can be, considering what they are with how many key players are missing.
Yeah, when you think about how good this team is right now and how good it looks right now, and you think about the fact that they're not even clicking on all cylinders yet, that is a terrifying thought. And listen, I think coming into this week, the general consensus was that the San Francisco 49ers and Dallas Cowboys were probably the two best teams in the National Football League. Dallas then went in and crapped the bed against Arizona. So they're out of that conversation for now. And, you know, so now, I mean, I think you've literally got people that are having to sit there and look at the fact that right now, the Miami Dolphins and San Francisco 49ers are the top teams in the league. And however you want to number it, is besides the point, because the fact that I think you need to look at, and that you really got to digest is that there is zero exaggeration. There is no lie in what I am about to say. But right now, as we are live on the evening of September 25th, the year of our Lord, 2023, the Miami Dolphins are without a doubt one of the best teams in the National Football League. And that's all there is to it. Whether they're top two, top three, top five, top 10, I'll let you debate it. But the fact is, if you're making a top 10 list, the best teams in the National Football League, and the Dolphins aren't in that top 10 list, you either have no idea what you're talking about, or you're completely biased, right? And that you're coming from a completely skewed perspective, because right now, this Dolphins team is clicking. They're not even fully clicking. And I think they are, beyond the shadow of a doubt, one of the best teams in the National Football League. Brian, anything else? I mean, like, we could talk in circles all day long about what this Miami Dolphins team is doing. And we're not even getting deep into the X's and O's and the misdirection and the things that Mike McDaniel is doing to open up these running lanes and to keep these defenders second guessing. We're not even getting into any of that. But, like, is there anything else that you want to touch on before we sort of start to wrap this thing up? Because we're not going to talk about, listen, there were certain, like we've mentioned, like, there's the short yardage play calls. There's, you know, obviously special teams is an issue. I've seen some people say that there's still a lot of work to do on defense. This defense gave up 13 points. You know, defense gave up 13 points. Yeah, there was a 99-yard kickoff return given up by special teams, but the defense has only given up 13 points. Defense is looking pretty good right now. So, Brian, anything else you want to talk about from this game before we put a bow on it and save my precious vocal cords?
I think we basically hit it all. I'll say this. On the show, we're live. Nobody's going to tell me that I, you know, am not accountable for my opinions when they're wrong. I did not like the Devon Achane pick. I was wrong. The reason that I did not like that pick was because there have been very few players of his stature at that position that have gone on to be successful players. I was wrong. I mean, it's not that he's explosive. I knew that he was explosive. I knew that he was fast and quick and all of that. It's the toughness. He plays bigger than he is and still has all of that explosiveness. That makes him really, really scary. And I'll say this. At this point, I mean, even seeing Devon Achane looking really good early in that game, I had the group chat with my buddies and they were like, yeah, I don't know that I feel good. I think I've changed my mind. I don't think I want to give up assets for Jonathan Taylor. And I was never really in the boat of giving up a lot of assets for Jonathan Taylor, given that you're also going to have to sign him. But I still said, well, I'd probably give up a second round pick for Jonathan Taylor. Honestly, the more I think about it, I think I'd rather keep the pick because I think we're good. Because the only reason that Devon Achane even got into this game was because Savon Ahmed got hurt and was inactive in this game. And honestly, the last 2 weeks, Savon Ahmed's looked really good. So I think I'm just doubling down on something that I've felt for a really long time, which is if you've got a really good passing game and you've got a really good offensive line, you just need sufficient running backs and you will have a really good running game. The Dolphins did it last year. They didn't have such a bad running game. I think that Devon Achane is more than sufficient. I think Raheem Mostert is more than efficient. Now, the short yardage stuff, we'll see how things play out. Granted, neither of those guys carried the ball on those short yardage situations. They handed the ball off to Alec Ingold. So I think we're good at tailback. And I don't think we need to trade for Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I even told Mike, who he did the podcast arguing that the Dolphins maybe needed to go out there and make a play for Cam Akers before he was traded to Minnesota. And I said to him, I was like, here's my thought on Akers. Unless you know for a fact that both Jeff Wilson and Savon Ahmed are going to be on the shelf for a long time, I'm talking like a season-long situation, then there's no need to do it. You don't need to go out there. You don't need to make that move. You don't need to make a trade. You don't need to give up capital because you've got the weapons you want. You've got two rookies on this roster in Devon Achane and Chris Brooks that you purposely made the decision not to put them on the practice squad, but to keep them on the 53-man roster. So that tells you where the level of confidence is of this coaching staff on those players. So you don't need to go out there and make a case. You don't need to bring in another running back. And I think that was the statement that Devon Achane was making pretty loud and clear on Sunday.
I'll go one step further. If these guys stay healthy, granted, you don't want to cut your nose off to spite your face, but if these guys stay healthy, you might trade one of these running backs just for a pick.
You maybe could do that. I don't know that you're going to do that during the season, but maybe afterwards, unless one of them can play quarterback, maybe you could trade him to the Jets. So listen, I'm going to go full screen here for a second, Bran, because I've got a message that I want to close with for the people, and I will throw it to you after this to give you a chance. Okay, so everybody gather around. It's story time with Amplified to Rock, baby. So here I go. I'm going to give you all the full screen. Here I am. Hello, everybody. Good evening. I apologize. My voice isn't the strongest right now. I'm dealing with this cold, but here's how I want to close tonight. What I want to say is this, and we've been very positive tonight on the show on purpose. While yesterday's result was spectacular in just about every sense, I will ultimately be disappointed if yesterday doesn't end up in the bottom half of my 2023 Miami Dolphins season memories. Okay, I want Sunday to be one step towards a Super Bowl victory. I don't want Sunday to be the peak. Okay? Because here's the thing, as huge as this feels, as good as this feels, at the end of the day, it's one win. One. We're 3-0. Most people watching or listening to this, they don't need me to remind them that the Dolphins were 3-0 last year. Right? Now, it is the first time that they've been 3-0 in back-to-back seasons since 1994, 5, and 6, but besides the point. So listen, if the Dolphins go into Buffalo this upcoming Sunday and they lose, they're going to find themselves at 3-1, and they'll be in second place in the division. So while it's fun to enjoy this win, and if you're one of those people who likes to rub it in people's faces, go for it. But remember that in the grand scheme of things, this team hasn't proven anything yet. Yes, we look amazing. Yes, it feels amazing. But they don't hand out the Vince Lombardi Trophy for running up the score at home against a bad team in September. See Penn's tweet. Unless Sunday's performance is one step, one building block towards the ultimate victory, and for those that are unaware of what I'm talking about, that would be the one that occurs in Las Vegas on February 11th, 2024. The one where Mike McDaniel, Tua Tagovailoa, Chris Greer, and Stephen Ross, yes, even Stephen Ross, unfortunately, he would be the first one, actually, will raise the Lombardi Trophy. Unless this is one step towards that ultimate victory, then this spectacular Sunday that we just witnessed will wind up sitting next to the Miami Miracle, the fake spike game, and defeating the 1985 Bears on Monday Night Football as all-time classic consolation prizes. So, let's enjoy this, savor this, remember this. But in the next 24 to 36, 48 hours, it's going to be time to shift our attention to the Buffalo Bills and the next step on our journey. And hopefully, there are many more moments to come that will prove to be much, much more memorable than this. Brain, I toss to you.
Look, I think you said it best. I think this is a great moment in time as a Dolphin fan. And we should all celebrate it, savor it, maybe for another day or two. And then it's on to Buffalo, because at the end of the day, if the Dolphins lose next week, they're in second place. If they win, they take a stranglehold over the division, which would be huge.
Buddy, if the Dolphins win, and I know there are people that want to keep you as far away from the Kool-Aid as possible. If the Dolphins go into Buffalo and win on Sunday, and it's like convincing, we're going to have Kool-Aid cocktails on this podcast, baby.
It's a Kool-Aid game for sure. I know a lot of people were thinking, oh, this was the Kool-Aid game. This was not a Kool-Aid game. This was a cool game, and this was an eye-opening game, and this sets the stage for a Kool-Aid game.
Yes, and this was a game that any reasonable Dolphin fan, I think you would probably look, 90% of Dolphins fans had this as a win marked on their schedule. Like, see, home opener at home against Denver. I mean, this was a game that you frankly, if you wanted this team to be a contender, this was an expected victory.
Yeah.
But I think this game upcoming with Buffalo, this is a game that I think most Dolphins fans probably have marked as an L. I know I had it marked as an L at the beginning of the season. We'll see. We'll look at it as we come down. We'll study it and we'll prep and we'll make our evaluations, and maybe my prediction will change. But this is a big game on Sunday. You know, I'll say this. I will say this. As far as division games in week four of the season go, they don't get much bigger than this one, because this is an opportunity for the Miami Dolphins to take a two-game division lead over every other team, at least every other team in the division, at least two games.
And it's really two and a half, because you'll have the head-to-head.
Right. And you'll be, yeah. So, It's an enormous one. It is an enormous game.
And it's not like Buffalo's not playing well. Like, did Buffalo lose in week one? Yes. But Buffalo just had a very impressive win against Washington. And Buffalo is going to hear, I mean, they're not going to overlook Miami, certainly. I mean, after losing to them last year and then playing two very tough games down the stretch in the regular season and then in the playoffs, there's no way that they're overlooking Miami. And then Miami is going to be the talk of the league for the entire week. And Buffalo is going to have their work cut out for them. They are going to treat this as big a game as Miami is going to treat this. This is going to be a playoff atmosphere type of game in September. At the end of the day, no matter what happens, it's not going to decide anything. But if Miami can win this game on the road, and take this kind of lead in the division this early in the season, it's a Kool-Aid type of game.
Yeah, it certainly is. So looking forward to that. And we're going to be here later this week to discuss it with you right here on the Same Old Dolphin Show. So a reminder, if you're not doing so already, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. We are also on Blue Sky now. I am at Amplified to Rock on Blue Sky. The Same Old Dolphins is also on Blue Sky at Same Old Dolphins as well. So you can follow us over there if you're part of the Blue Sky Revolution. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. We appreciate it very much. Like this video, hit the thumbs up, turn on notifications, subscribe to the channel, tell your friends, visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And thank you sincerely for listening, for hanging out, for being part of La Familia, because I'll tell you what, being a Dolphins fan hasn't always been the most fun in the world, but whether you're celebrating a victory or you are blowing off steam after a defeat, it's always better to have friends and family around who support the same team as you. So we appreciate everybody coming along for the ride. That's going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. We'll be back on Thursday to preview the Bills game, but until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, let's see if I don't choke on this one. Go Dolphins!
I still think they should have kicked the field.
We're rooting for the Dolphins. I'm mighty, mighty Dolphins.